everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the chief vampire hunter of O-Rock. Yes.
Oh, we've been needing one of those. Oh, thank goodness you're here. Oh, how's it going, Michael?
It's fine. I guess. It's been kind of a rough month. So, how's the month been going for you?
Yeah, it's been quiet. It's been very cold. I live in upstate New York, where we just got basically enough snow that I can't see out of the windows anymore. Like, I'm on the second floor, and I don't know what's going on outside.
Is that is that a joke or an exaggeration, or does snow really get that high? Because I hear people talk about there's 6 feet of snow, and I'm like, not 6 feet tall. Does that mean the snow is higher than an actual person?
Ours wasn't that bad. We got about a foot and a half, I'd say. So I was exaggerating a bit, but it was still very cold. It was like, you know, below zero. It got to the point where, like, the mayor of our town tweeted out that people need to stay off the roads because the plows couldn't keep up with the snowfall, which is a little alarming. And also that we weren't supposed to go outside for more than 15 to 20 minutes at a time or else we'd get frostbite. The mayor's very concerned about us.
Well, I'm glad your mayor wants to make sure nobody gets frostbite, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of politics, Michael, there is something that's been in the news a lot lately that our fans have been dying for us to talk about that I wanted to ask you about.
Oh, cool. Does it have anything to do with Cat President too?
Not really.
Oh. Oh, that's not good at all.
It's just me, actually. I want you to explain to me what a marginal tax rate is.
Oh, okay. So there are three different types of tax rates. The first is the flat tax rate, which is, we'll bring this back to video games. That's what Steam does. So Steam takes 30% of your sales, correct?
Got it, yes.
It does not matter how many games you sell. If you sell one game, they take 30%. If you sell 1 million games, they take 30%, right?
Yes, got it. Actually, I think, well, yeah, we'll keep it simple, yeah.
You think maybe they, like, offer a discount to the big companies for, like, exclusivity rights?
There was definitely something about that, like, within the last month or two, like, how they were changing their policies for people who make, it's like over $1 million or over $10 million or something, they were going to start giving them a better rate.
Oh, so if you make over $1 million,
they
will only take 20%?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah, I don't remember the specifics off the top of my head, but I remember the indie developers on Twitter were not very happy about it. They're like, my game made $15, can I keep that?
No, they need 30% of your $15.
Yeah. Okay, so a flat tax is just flat, like a straight up percentage of the revenue, of your revenue.
Yeah, basically everybody pays the same amount. That's sort of what the idea is. We have what's called a progressive tax, which I think I told you it's like tax brackets. So
right.
If you make, you know, $9,500, you pay 10% in taxes. And then the next one is 12%, so that's under $38,000. And then the next rate is 22%, that's under $82,000. Next one is 24%, under $157,000.
Okay.
So basically, the more money you make, the higher your tax rate is. You have to pay more in taxes.
Okay.
And what generally happens there is, you know, if somebody's, like, on the very edge of that, they want to stay underneath it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you make $200,000, you're paying 32% in taxes.
Yeah.
But if you make $200,001, you're paying 35% in taxes.
Got it. So you want to find a way to get that $1, make that $1 not taxable.
You basically want to make that $1 disappear.
Disappear.
Otherwise, your taxes are just going up.
Yeah. So that's when you beg your boss to please, please, I want to earn $1 less if that's okay with you.
I've got $1 of business expenses this year.
Yes. Can I put that $1 in a retirement fund, perhaps?
So, a marginal tax rate is sort of... Nobody likes the marginal tax rate. Governments don't like the marginal tax rate. So like I said, if we make $2,001, all of that gets taxed at 35%. But with the marginal tax rate, what it does is, okay, the $200,000 is taxed at 32%. Anything over $200,000 is taxed at 35%.
Okay.
So we split it up. Only that smaller amount is taxed at the higher rate. That's a marginal tax.
Oh. That sounds like a nice compromise.
Yeah. The reason governments don't like that is because you make less money. It's obviously better for the government if they charge everything at the higher rate as opposed to just a little bit at the higher rate.
Sure. Yeah, I know it's been in the news lately. There's some politicians. I guess because we don't have that right now. I guess we have whatever the second one was called.
The progressive tax rate.
Progressive tax rate, right?
Yeah, it's just like I was gonna say an RPG when you progress through the game. So the first store, everything costs $10, but you know when you're level 5 and you've progressed to level 5, all the stores start charging $20, and then
I love it.
When you're level 50, all of a sudden everything costs $100, right? The prices just seem to go up as you progress through the game.
Yeah, and that's why you try to fly back to the towns from the beginning of the game to pay the lower the lower rate.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's when you use the select button cheat to sneak back into Poto's village. I know how this works. Sorry, that's from Secret of Mana.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
It's like I haven't played that game.
You should. We were trying to do a Let's Play of it like years and years
we
and years
tried,
ago.
We tried, and then it's just really hard to play multiplayer games over the internet.
Yeah, it's a fun idea, though. Oh, well. Yeah, actually, apropos of nothing, I just noticed today that we've been working together online for 12 years.
That's a lot.
Do you believe that? Oh my gosh, yeah, it was 2007 that you joined the Game Cola staff back in the old newsletter days with your very first Inside the Guide column. I just happened to notice that today. I thought that was interesting. Anyway,
yeah, that's good times. So that's how a marginal tax rate works.
Yeah, excellent.
It is kind of more fair to the person. I mean, so you technically are paying less in taxes overall, I guess. But like I said, governments don't like it because in general, governments don't like it when people pay less in taxes. So like the RPG, the shopkeeper in town 5 doesn't like it when you go back to town 1.
Yes.
And buy money from them.
He doesn't like me using my Poto's cheat. Sorry. Again, that's Secret of Mana. It's this whole thing. You get kicked out of your the village that you were born and raised in because you brought monsters to it and they attacked the town. You get kicked out. But if you try hard, there's a way you can stand in front of the guard. And I believe it's either push select or push like Y a bunch of times. And you can like kind of glitch your way back into the town.
Oh, wow.
And stay at the inn for free and buy stuff at the shop.
I know a similar glitch, I think, with Shining Force, the first Shining Force game. What you're supposed to do, you're supposed to like talk to the king and do a bunch of stuff and go through cutscenes before you're able to leave the town, because you've got these two guards. So whenever you go, you know, south to exit the town, the two guards just run together to block you.
Sure.
So what you can do is stand in front of those wandering, you know, townspeople and just always be one square above them. That way you're slowly forcing them down to the bottom of the screen so they will get in the way of the guard. So the guard will run into the townsmen and bounce off and you can escape town early.
Yes. Oh, man. Do you want to escape town early? That sounds like a bad idea.
It saves time.
I guess it's good for speed runs.
I guess it is, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I did it the once, and I'm like, it's not really all that different, because it's one of those games where as soon as you... It's like Fire Emblem, where all the battles are already predetermined. It's not like randomized battles. So you get thrown into the first battle no matter what, whether you leave town legitimately or whether you cheat your way and save like 2 minutes, I guess.
Oh, okay. That's what I was wondering, like, if you were skipping battles and missing out on experience and stuff by doing it that way, but now you're just kind of saving time.
Yeah, you're just saving time. You're cool. Leaving the original village faster. Yeah. That's all.
Cool. So what have you been up to last month? Any fun game development stuff?
No. So, let's see. I know I sent you, I looked into doing the escape room game. Let me pull up my notes for this now. And I sent you an email, and then you sent me something back. Basically, if we're going to try to do the escape room game on RenPy, we want to get the interface figured out.
Right.
So it's just like internet cores. Like, mainly we want to get this interface 100%, and then it'd be pretty easy for me to just program everything else. It'd be a lot of work, but not as tough as figuring out the interface. So, yeah, there's one thing, like, we've got arrows in the upper right hand.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get from screen to screen? Does it work to just have an arrow in the upper right corner and upper left corner? And you said, yeah, that looks fine.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I was trying to look at actually, like, what other first-person point-and-click adventure games do, and the only ones I could think of were, like, the Deja Vu series. But their interface was way more complicated than I think we want to try to do. Like, there's this, the actual, like, room that you're in is kind of in the center, and then there's all these different menus just kind of plastered all over the screen. I didn't really like it very much, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It looked complicated.
Yeah, so I think they actually have a move button, I think.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be kind of simple, too, if we had a move button, actually.
Let's see, yeah.
So there's that. Basically, what we'd have to do is, if we've got the arrows in the upper right and left corner, then we have to make sure that, you know, they're not covering up important stuff on the screen.
Yeah.
So we'd basically just have to move things around on the screen to make sure they're not being overlapped by the arrow. So, you said about the inventory. Okay, so the way it works is we've got this inventory at the bottom of the screen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So I've got 8 inventory item spots. And you asked, it's like, well, how many inventory items can you have in total? Because I think what you wanted to have was just arrows on the inventory, like an up, down, and up arrow and down arrow that lets you scroll through the inventory.
Yeah. I mean, that's what, I guess I was thinking of, like, Secret of Monkey Island and Day of the Tentacle and those kind of games. I think that's how they do that.
Oh, a lot of games do. Modern games, you know, with the inventory, generally it's right and left rather than up and down now, but touchscreen interface. I don't know why they changed it that way, but
weird. No, I don't like that as much. I like up and down better. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter that much. It's just preferences, but.
So, I have absolutely no idea how to do that.
Sure. Yeah.
I think what we'd have to do is actually just add another inventory at the bottom of the inventory we've got. So instead of doing it, right now it works on a grid. So it's an 8x1 grid, and that's literally like the command code in the programming. Grid 8-1. So I can do grid 8-2. So it's got a second inventory. So basically, it's got two rows of eight.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Columns, yeah. So it's funny, we can do that the way it is now, and it's just the bottom layer is invisible. the bottom row is invisible, right? Because it's technically appearing off the screen. Mm-hmm. Or we can just make the bottom row of the inventory visible.
Yeah. I feel like that would take up a lot of space on the screen, wouldn't it, if we had two rows of inventory?
Yeah. So another thing we could do is change the size of the inventory, too.
Yeah, or I mean, we could make the inventory its own, like, separate screen and not show it on the main screen at all, but that would kind of mess with the layout substantially, so I'm not sure if that's really worth considering. Like in, Curse of Monkey Island, or other games, like, they have you, say, right-click, and then it opens up your inventory in a separate screen. Or Test Game, The Beard in the Mirror, does it that way, for that matter.
Oh. Yeah, we'd have to do something like that where
I don't know if that helps or solves any of our issues, but it's a possibility.
I'll put that on as a possibility and think about it. So separate inventory screen, because I was actually thinking about doing one of those, but for a different reason. But yeah, I think if we have like one of those, I think it'd be cool if we had like, you know, you could select four items from your inventory screen and you'd have like a half size inventory on the main screen.
Okay.
I don't know if that's something that happens. I was thinking, actually, well, it's related to another issue that we were running to, which was, you know, it'd be really cool if we could hover over an item in your inventory, and then I can make it so a text box appears, but I don't know how to make it so the text box will be item-specific for the item that you're hovering over, because apparently whoever programmed this just never thought of it. So they thought of, you know, making text boxes appear over items you can interact with, but not items in your inventory. Just never crossed their mind, I guess.
We could consider just adding labels to the images themselves, like not even when you're hovering them, just putting a little label with each item. That might make things a little messy looking, though.
Yeah.
Like the screenshot I'm looking at, like it has the blocks and the horse, so the horse could just like have horse written on it or something.
How, you know, have a little subtitle that says horse. Yeah.
Yeah, but that might with the options menu on the bottom right, like we have right now, where it says save, load, options, quit. It might be like a lot of words on the screen at once. It might not look good.
You're right. So we could make sure. We could try to add it to the options. Okay, writing that note down. Basically, it's like, here are ideas. We need to see if they actually work. That would require programming me for me to figure it out. So I was also thinking I have no idea how to do combining inventory items.
Yeah.
I'll be 100% honest. I cannot understand what the programmer did with the select action or select item thing. It's literally written in another language I don't speak, so...
So this is like some sort of add-on that you downloaded for RenPy or that allows you to make adventure games with it, or what is this that you're using?
So this is somebody posted it on the RenPy forums. It's just a variation of an inventory menu or an inventory frame that somebody came up with it for a game. I think they came up with a really simple inventory, which is basically it's a frame at the bottom of the screen. R could be on the left-hand side of the screen if you really want. It could be anywhere on the screen, actually. Wherever the heck you want to put an inventory, you can put it. So somebody did like a, you know, make a game in 24 hours or 48-hour challenge.
Sure.
And so I think it's like short, just three or so rooms, but... their inventory was all text, just to save time. So somebody's like, okay, here's how we would do that inventory thing with pictures, and they made it more complicated that you can, you know, add items and subtract items. Yeah, so I'll just have to play some more or try to figure out. I spent a couple of hours this afternoon trying to figure out how the select item works. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay, so has there been any I know you made some progress with Internet Court.
Yes, I have. I'm finally finished with all the GUI changes that I've been totally bogged down in, all the interface changes I've been working on for the last several months, it feels like. And I've finally moved on to actually coding and editing the videos for case number two, which is so much more fun than endlessly testing and changing and retesting stupid menus. And this is the case that my character Judge Doodles is the main character for too. So that's actually, I was gonna say that makes it more fun, but it's actually less fun because I don't enjoy my acting that much. It's like what you were saying last month, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do have some bad news for you, though, Michael. You're not going to like this.
Am I going to have to re-record stuff?
No. It's nothing like that. I finally decided I shot down the request recess button idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I spent a long time trying to just thinking about it, and it sort of boils down to, I think that, and this was something we talked about last month, for anyone who's wondering, it's just like a very, very, very complicated problem for a very small problem. Like, it's technically doable, but it's something that would take like a while to actually implement it. And I'm just not convinced that doing this huge workaround to get a pseudo pause button to the game is really necessary. I know you had mentioned that as a Let's player it would be useful, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure if, besides that specific instance, that it's something that people need in general. Like, the longest scene in the game is like a minute and a half, maybe. And I feel like most players will be able to go that long without saving or pausing or whatever. Like, their most major video games have cutscenes that are way longer than a minute and a half. That's sort of where I'm landing with that. But, and besides that, I also just think it's sort of overly complicated from a gameplay perspective. I sort of started to talk about this last month, but I think that it clutters the interface with more stuff that we have to explain what this is and how you use it and why, because it's such like a weird thing to add. And I also think it sort of draws attention to the fact that we don't have a real pause button, and I think it like kind of comes across as a weird workaround to cover for the fact that I'm not very good at coding.
So. Well, forget you YouTubers.
I'm sorry.
Making more money on our game than we are, so...
You can just wait a minute and a half and then provide your commentary. It'll be okay.
Or you could just do that in editing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, YouTubers. And streamers, Twitch streamers, they're going to be really upset.
Aw, is everybody streaming our the Pizza Boy game?
there's a new Let's Play that just went up on YouTube in the last few weeks. They're doing it like chapter by chapter. I think they're up to chapter 5 now. I was gonna wait till it's all finished before I watch them.
Pizza delivery boy, you save the world. Okay, yeah, looks like we've got people who've done that.
Yeah, there have been a few. I believe Game Cola is actually in the middle of one right now too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry, Michael. I know. I mean, and I'm sorry to the tester who suggested the request recess button idea too. Because I mean, it was a really clever solution. I just, for the many reasons that I just mentioned, I'm not convinced. But the fact that I decided not to do that is what allowed me to continue working on the game too. Mm-hmm. I'm not stuck doing that until March, you know.
Yeah, that's good. Good. We can bring that game to an end, maybe.
Yeah, at some point. I mentioned this before. I'm very concerned that it's not going to be finished this year. And if it isn't, this would... 2019, geez. This would be the first year that we didn't release a game since we started. If I can't finish Internet Court on by the end of the year. Because 2014 was My Nigerian Prince, 2015 Francie Drew, 2016 Cat President, Beard in the Mirror, 2017 Awkward Steve, Francie and Friends, and last year, 2018, Pizza Delivery Boy and the Steam port of Life in the Dorms. Oh, but yeah, none of our projects, it's possible none of them will be finished by the end of this year. I'm going to try. Things are slow. Cat President 2 definitely isn't going to be this year.
Yeah, you sent me like 4 scripts for Cat President 2. I'll look at them some point.
Anyway, that was kind of a bummer. Do you have something happy to talk about? No, huh?
Yeah, wow. No.
It's been that kind of month.
Yeah, I can't think of any good video game news.
I attended a virtual conference this month for visual novel developers. That was really cool.
Ooh, what's that?
Yeah, it was called Visual Semicolon Conference, VNConf for short. And it was kind of held on this teleconferencing software, basically. And people would do their little PowerPoints and give a talk on that screen. And then everyone would be kind of sitting in the chat room talking about it on Discord. It was actually really cool. It was this whole like day long thing when there were talks about like editing visual novels, there was this talk about how to maximize your use of the skip button, like to make sure that the game isn't too boring for people who are skipping through the stuff they already played. Then there was a talk about like branching dialogues and choices and how to like make the most impactful choices in your game. Like, it was really cool. I'm really glad I did it.
Huh. I mean, it does sound interesting. Are we going to, like, implement any of this cool stuff in,
I made a bunch of notes. I took a bunch of notes on the stuff that I was interested in, so, yeah, and if you want, they actually are putting, and this goes for anyone out there who's listening, they put all of the talks on YouTube, just for anyone to watch, from this year and for the last 2 years, too.
Sounds good, yeah. I mean, all my stuff are visual novels right now. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was thinking, too. It's so funny, like, when I started with game development, like, I really thought of myself as an adventure game developer. But, I mean, that's not what my career trajectory has been. It's been, like, visual novels and weird FMV games. So it was a very, very relevant conference. Oh, anyway, just shout out to them. I had a really good time.
All right, sounds good. Yeah. I'm looking into writing more games, for hosted games, but
oh, cool.
Nothing, I mean, all I've done is, like, try to do outlines for some of those. So, let's see, I want to do Pride and Prejudice 2, and it looks like everybody wanted to do the exact same game, but from the man's point of view. I'm like, that's the one I'm, like, least interested in.
Oh,
that was the,
no.
The sequel option I was least interested in doing. Because it's mostly the same thing. I'd have to come up with a couple of extra scenes, I suppose. And I can't think of a fifth love interest, so that's also a problem. I'm sure there's got to be a fifth love interest in the book somewhere, maybe. I don't know.
What were the other options for sequels?
The two sisters do the Disney route of, oh, I moved ahead 30 years, now their kids are having adventures.
Oh, sure.
And then just do the same thing with, what was it, Sense and Sensibility. So, let me see, I wanted to write a game called the Toaster from the Future.
Yes. I don't care what it is, yes.
So it turns out that Hosted Games already has a game called Nuclear Powered Toaster, which is
what? They already
which
have
is
a toaster
about a,
game.
They've already got a sci-fi comedy toaster
no.
game.
Why? No. What did you say it was called? I need to look it up.
Nuclear Powered Toaster, I think.
Nuclear Powered Toaster. I'll check that out later. Well, can you make yours about like a vacuum cleaner or something?
I guess that's what I'll have to do. I mean, that is 100% what I'd have to do. Oh my gosh, there are Let's Plays of this game on... It's a text game! Now I need to see if there are, like,
yeah.
Walkthroughs of my game on YouTube.
That was exactly what I was gonna
there
say.
There are none! What?
Oh. Alright, well, you need to do one.
Oh, and then the Arglefumph blog. Rest in peace, Arglefumph blog.
Oh, I miss the Arglefumph blog.
You're like the only one.
Really? I was checking it every day.
Literally nobody has mentioned it to me that, you know, I killed my blog.
Oh, that's sad.
7-8 months ago. So I'm like, oh, well, I guess people must have noticed, but they didn't feel the need to mention it to me.
Oh, well, I missed it. I am currently missing it.
Yeah. So,
But I'm sure it's a lot less work for you to not have to worry about it anymore, though.
Yeah. So Toaster from the Future, I'm just going to have to switch from some other silly device from the future. But I was thinking about, you know, one of the pathways having Finley from the Pizza Boy game show up. Well, here's an... Because I know with those hosted games, those guys really love branching pathways and you know, options to do alternate things. As opposed mm-hmm. to the Pride and Prejudice game, where you basically follow the book, and that makes sense, because, you know, it's based on a book. But, I'm like, what would you do if you had a magical device from the future? So I thought, you could find love, cheat at video games, and become rich. And I'm like, what else could you do with future powers? I don't know.
Hmm. So what does the toaster do?
So let's see. I was inspired by the game, which was the VCR from the future. I mean, that was a book. It was the VCR from the future, and it basically let the person could watch any news program up to the next 2 weeks. So it had a 2 week range for whatever reason. So I'm like, that's an interesting limitation on your time travel, right? So she could watch the news, and basically she'd use, you know, tomorrow. That's all she ever did, our main character. She just saw what the news was the next day, and it's like, oh man, somebody jumped off a building. I'm going to go save that person's life. All right, and
so does this give you, like, toast from the future?
I don't know.
Like, oh man, I'm going to burn my toast in 2 weeks.
Yeah. No, I thought it would be like, you know, how everything is linked up to, it's kind of, you know, like you said, that all, you know, we could play our video games on a toaster.
On a toaster, yeah, okay.
So it's like, wait, so somebody obviously has their email address, you know, just sign into their email through their toaster, and that way they get emails from the future.
Oh, that, yeah. Oh, okay. I mean, how about like a toothbrush from the future or something?
Toothbrush, yeah. A fork, maybe? I don't know.
A fork? Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but then I'm like, well, what can you do with that? I don't know. In the book, the person, like, you know, saved somebody's life and then became rich. And then it became, oh no, the news showed that she was murdered that day, so she tried to avoid being murdered. And then it went really, really weird. She was actually a cyborg from the future, and that's how she knew the future. It wasn't the VCR player.
What?
But the person who killed her was her grandfather, who invented the cyborgs.
Okay.
And, yeah. So it just went completely off the rails, the story did. I figured what would happen is, you know, no matter which pathway you pick, after 3 to 5 chapters, the main storyline shows up, and then, you know, the time police shows up to stop you, to take back the toaster.
Yeah, and then that's how it would connect to the pizza delivery boy.
Yep, and then when the time police touches the toaster, an alarm goes off, a time-traveling villain of the game enters and does more stuff. It's like, okay, and then Act 4 is where things get more dramatic, and Act 5 is where you stop the culprit and save the day.
I do sort of like the small connections that we put in the games that we worked on, like how Pizza Boy sort of leads into Cat President a little bit. I believe Judge Doodles is referenced in the Cat President 2 script.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because we needed a judge, so.
I know in Life in the Dorms, there's a couple references that imply that it's the same universe as The Beard in the Mirror. Someday we'll make a website showing how all of our games are connected and are in the same universe as one another.
Okay, that sounds good. And next month, just remind me to try to talk about Kidnap Prom Queen. That was like the third of the games that I was thinking of doing for hosted games. So right now I'm very much at the just outlining and brainstorming what these games would be. I'm not even like starting writing them yet.
Sure. And is this like a thing where you're going to email them the different ideas that you have and they'll say if there's one in particular they want you to work on, something like that?
No, I think it's going to be just like the Pride and Prejudice game, where I just do it all by myself, and then when I'm done, I throw it at them, and they say, okay, free money for us.
Well, good luck. I'm sure it'll work out. It seems like the courting of Miss Bennett, that's what it was called, right? Yeah. It's still getting rave reviews on Google Play, I just saw.
I can't believe it. So, yeah, I guess people who are huge fans of the original book like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because I'm not a huge fan of, like I said, the spinoff that people liked on Twitter, I think I'll just float it by the hosted games forums and see if maybe they have if they like one of the other ones better.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Oh, did you did the previous poll, like, on your Twitter page, or?
Yeah, I did the poll on my Twitter page, and so we'll see if people from their website like something better than just the exact same game, but from the male perspective.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it definitely makes sense to ask them because they are your target audience, I would assume.
Yeah.
Fun. All right, let's move on to listener questions.
Okay.
We got several from Alicia V. Parker. I'm only going to pick a couple of them because some of them I think we've talked about before on the podcast. But here's one of them. Do you believe that the games you create are memorable?
Yeah, Cat President is memorable, it sounds like. And I thought Pizza Delivery Boy was memorable. I honestly can't remember some of the other ones. My Nigerian Prince, I don't remember too much about it. I remember Francie Drew.
Oh.
I thought those were good, but apparently they weren't incredibly memorable to people. I guess Trapped in the Soap Opera is not as memorable as the others. I thought Who Am I was
awesome. I don't remember Trapped in a Soap Opera at all.
Yeah. I thought Who Am I would be super fantastic, but apparently nobody has
well, there's
jumped
that one
on
Let's
it.
Play.
Oh, there is a Let's Play. Okay.
There is. Have we not talked about that before? It's such a weird thing to watch, especially because sometimes the Let's Player, the real-life Let's Player, like, says something, and then the Let's Player in the game says basically the same thing right after him. Which I think means you did a really good job writing the dialogue. Very, very realistic dialogue.
Yeah, predicting exactly what the Let's Player is going to say.
Yeah, it's a funny watch, actually. And the guy who did it is going to be one of the actors in Internet Court, too.
Oh, great. I can't wait to Let's Play Who Am I, actually. I was going to do that at one point. I was in a mood to do it. But,
yes.
Then it was a second day. I have to be in a very strange mood in order to play a game as myself, playing a game as myself.
Yeah, the Let's Player, I think it was Nick of Time is his YouTube name.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone check that out. It's pretty trippy. But yeah, I mean, I like to think our games are memorable. If they're, you know, forgettable, why are we even making them, you know? We're not making a ton of money off of this. We're making these games because we think they're games that should be made.
Yeah. I feel like, when you've got a series with like a 500 million games, some of them are more memorable than others, like Zelda or Super Mario or such. I know, like, obviously they're good series and they try to make each game fantastic, but at the end of the day, nobody remembers Super Mario Sunshine or such.
That's very true.
So
I was looking it up recently because I was like, do I want to play this game again? And I didn't remember that there was like a water jetpack thing in the game at all.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the main thing.
I got through like the first three level. I think that was about it. Actually, just like the first three. The worlds were just not very interesting and I didn't really like the water jetpack.
Yeah, I guess that's part of it. Like, Francie Drew 2 is like the only sequel that we've made so far.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on a sequel, but yeah, most of our games are pretty distinct from one another. Makes them perhaps more memorable. And Awkward Steve is in the Smithsonian, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
the other question from Alicia that I wanted to address was, how long does it take to create a single game? I think I can address this one. I think it's definitely changed in the several years that you and I have been making games together, right? Like, from what I remember, our first game, My Nigerian Prince, took like 4 or 5 months from us emailing saying, hey, we should make a game, to the game being released on itch.io. And from there, the games have kind of taken progressively longer. The more complicated we make them, the more we get into it, the more we try to do with each game. Like, I think maybe Francie 1 was a little less than a year. Cat President was, I think, around like a year and a half. And now the games we're working on right now are probably going to hit somewhere in the 2 year range. So it's just, you know, the longer we go, the more we try to do, the more we put into these games.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also The Beard in the Mirror, I believe, was 9 years to make.
Yes.
So that kind of messes up the curve a little bit. Or was it 11 years? Oh my gosh. I think it might have been 11. But yeah, that's pretty much the long and the short of it. It varies from project to project, but we're skewing a little longer now because we're making bigger games.
Yep, bigger games, and also I think you are taking more side projects, it sounds like.
That's true, yeah. And like I'm working on two games for us right now, and I'm also like sort of half working on a couple of side projects just for myself, which takes up a little bit of time. But yeah, I also especially last year picked up a lot of contract work, which kind of took a big chunk out of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We also had a couple of questions from O-Rock Studios superfan Elizabeth Pfeffer. She wants to know, we have any favorite game music?
Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, that's a good pick.
That theme, it's really good. Mm-hmm.
I was going to throw out Phoenix Wright, I think, has a fantastic soundtrack. Both of the Chrono Trigger and Chrono Cross. And Secret of Mana, especially. Like, I still have the music for that, like, on my iTunes. And whenever I hear it, it makes me want to play the game over again. Like, I feel like for me, like, that's really, like, such a mark of a good soundtrack. Is if I want to just listen to it independent of the game. And then two, listening to the music automatically makes me want to replay the game, whether it's actually that good of a game or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still have the soundtrack to Rhapsody, a musical adventure. Did you ever play that?
I did not.
Really weird PlayStation 1 RPG that was itself like a musical. Like, it had musical numbers all throughout it. And it wasn't that much fun of a game, but I thought the music was cool. And I keep wanting to replay it just whenever I hear the music. One more question from Elizabeth Pfeffer. Any games you're looking forward to playing this year?
I have no idea what games are being released this year. Gosh, I have no idea. Oh, yeah. There's a new Nancy Drew game coming out, maybe. I'm looking pretty forward to that if it comes out. Yeah, I'll be...
Allegedly.
I'll be looking forward to that, yeah. Ooh, new Super Mario Brothers Wii U Deluxe? Yeah, I've never played any of the new Super Mario Brothers multiplayer games, I guess. So I played the handheld one, I think. I don't know, the one that was like a million coins was the theme.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like it, so.
It's a totally different experience playing it multiplayer. I'm dying for them to make an actual new one, but I don't think there's any on the horizon.
That's why I'm interested in it, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Do you have a Switch?
I have a Switch.
Oh, perfect.
I do not have a second controller, but I mean, I have the controllers that come with it, so some games work like that.
Yeah, well, it's that weird thing where, like, the controller that comes with the system can, like, break down into two different controllers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, man. Oh, I sense a fun family game night in your future.
Mm-hmm. See, we've got a new Fire Emblem game coming out, which... I didn't like the new features that they were unveiling, but everybody else was like, oh my gosh, they're so cool. Ooh, Luigi's Mansion 3. Haven't played any of his games.
I'm really excited for Kingdom Hearts 3, which will be out by the time people are listening to this.
Oh, so it's for sure coming out. Nice.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. I'm going to play through it, I think, with my wife, with Lizzo. She has actually played most of, if not all of, the different spin-off games that have come out since Kingdom Hearts 2, like all the weird like DS and PSP and whatever else. Vita, was there a Vita one? I don't know. All the different weird spin-offs. So she like sort of knows what the storyline is. But our plan is to sort of trade off playing the game and sitting on the couch with a laptop with Wikipedia open so the other person can look up who all these characters are and try to recap what's happening in the plot at this point.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. I sort of think, certainly for me, that's the only way the game will make any sense because I've only played Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and that was like 10 years ago at this point. I'm also really looking forward to Life is Strange 2. I know the first episode already came out, but I cannot play episodic games as they come out anymore. I wait for the whole thing to be released because I don't want to. I mean, I've complained about this certainly somewhere before. I don't want to be in the position of playing 2 hours of a video game every 4 months. Like, I just want to play through the whole thing. So I'm extremely looking forward to that. I just finished the Life is Strange prequel, Life is Strange Before the Storm, just within the last couple weeks, and that game kind of blew me away. Like, for being a weird prequel, not even made by, like, the same company or written by the same people, like I was so into it the entire time I was playing it. Like, by the end, I was, like, rooting so hard for these characters, even though I know what happens in the next game. Like, ah! I was so, so completely into it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's next in the series.
Sounds good. And there's Metroid Prime 4, so I'm somewhat looking forward to that. I'm glad they're doing more Metroid games, although I'm not a fan of the Prime series. I don't know if that's a weird... I don't know, it's like Zelda. It's like, well, I'm glad they're making more Zelda games, even though I don't like the cartoon Zelda one.
Oh, no Zelda Rides a Choo-Choo Train for you?
No Zelda Rides a Choo-Choo Train. I don't know why.
Did you play Smash Brothers at all?
No, I'm not going to play that game. I don't like Smash Brothers even in the slightest.
Really?
I don't know what's fun about it. It's just, I don't know, a bunch of characters I don't know, and I don't seem to be able to do anything when I use the controls. It seems like you just press random buttons, and then people hit each other. Yay.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, I'm not like a Smash Brothers person, but I played the new Switch one at my friend's house over Christmas, and I was getting pretty into it. Like, I don't want to just like sit and like plow through single player mode, but it's a fun game for like someone else to own and me to go to their house and play it with them. Well, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumpf, which you may know is spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. Our theme song, it's Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. Our latest game, The Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World, a visual novel about pizza and the time travelers who make it. That's on Steam right now, and everyone should totally play it, buy it, so we can sell enough copies to finally release trading cards for the game.
Yeah.
And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@oarock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
No.
All right, Michael's got to go off to slay some vampires, so.
Yeah.
We'll see you all later. Bye.
Bye. I don't know why microwaves kill the internet, and why nobody seems to care about this at all, but me.